Podcasts are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
This weekend, I don't want to talk about, like, we don't believe those people. Believe women. Believe women. Believe
women. Okay, so this was a man. It was,
You just were
briefly. Like, we were, like, hanging out and hooking up for, like, a month. But
that's insane. He's kind of a deal.
He was still, like, he wasn't as big of a deal at the time, but he is.
He's old. Like, he's older than you.
Yeah, he's a lot older than me.
Whoa. Fucked him.
So we fucked. But before that,
did you meet his parents? I don't want to talk about anything but this. This is insane. I can't believe you never told me this.
Well, he predicted, like, because his family's very right wing. He was like, ew. He was the only one who was like, I think Donald Trump is going to win. And it was like way back, like, you know, right when he started campaigning. And I was like, no way.
Not in a way.
That's crazy. And he was like, dude, he was like, when I talk to my family and, like, when I go on tour, I just know that, like, these people want him. They want something different. And I was like,
ugh. He just wanted to do impressions of him online, and he does.
It actually worked out very well for him that Trump was elected, because he had a lot of time to prep, you know.
Oh my god, wait, so what was the demise of this relationship? Was he doing too many voices during sex?
No, it was like, so we,
he dated Michael Winslow, everybody, from Police Academy. I think he's dead, actually.
God, I wish. Awooga. That would make me go
time sex. He was like dating sirens out.
Yeah, turning up a car. No, he was like a really nice guy, but we just, like, stopped hanging out. Also, he stopped calling me after we, like, finally had sex instead of just, like, mouth and hand stuff.
Did he have a nice apartment?
Oh my god, he has.
Was he a renter? Oh my god,
hills.
No, did his famous ex-girlfriend get it to him?
I think it was from writing jobs, like TV writing.
Can we say who his ex-girlfriend is?
I think that's really going to narrow it down to, like, him or David.
Julia Brown. Roberts.
His ex-girlfriend, Julia Roberts. Yeah, she's kind of the Julia Roberts of a certain arena of entertainment.
Yeah. And then you went into, like, a store and you said, and they were like, oh, who's this, like, weird poor woman? And you were like, I have money to spend here.
Yes, yeah. You work on commission, big mistake.
Huge. I have money to spend here.
So, like, we met at a bar one night, and, like, I'd listened to a podcast he was on before, and he talks about, like, having celiacs, like, really bad celiacs, like, and he's so pissed at people who say they have, like, gluten sensitivities and stuff, because he, like, almost died, and if he has a little of wheat, he'll almost die.
Wait, did you guys never go to dinner when you dated?
I mean,
did he have snacks in his home? Were they gluten-free?
Well, here's the thing. So at the bar, I ordered a Guinness, and he said, I'll have one too. And he
drank almost all of Guinness. That's drinking a loaf of bread.
Now I don't believe anyone, like, ever again. Like,
my God, I can't believe
his podcast about how his was real. He almost died. Everyone else is faking. And then he, like, drank.
Maybe he almost died after that Guinness.
I mean,
that's why he stopped calling.
Because he's dead. Well, no, we still hung out after that, so.
I mean, yeah, it is also suspect that, like, you didn't go eat anywhere.
I mean, we were not, like, boyfriend and girlfriend. We were, like, hanging out. We'd hang out at his house, you know, I'd go to his
party. Like, a casting couch sort of situation. Like, can I get on his TikToks? You had to audition for his TikToks.
He didn't even have connections. Like, that was before the day of TikTok. I was just, like, I just always thought he was cute, you know.
See, I thought he's like a writer. I thought he was like a writer on, like,
he wrote
on Cheers.
He's not that old. He's not
like Larry David, you guys. You actually said creator of Seinfeld.
Although no, Larry David, I could never have sex with Larry David because our torsos are too similar. It would be like too, and we're both LD, like.
Just got it written in the stars. I don't want to talk about fucking. Can we not talk? Okay, let's just. Okay,
it's
season eight.
Fun.
It ended a long time ago.
Okay,
just like Lauren's relationship with.
We were hanging out. Good morning,
so
students.
Old. Good morning.
That old.
But I mean, we need to talk about, like, why you like such older men.
That's true.
Because, like, Cam's older. Well, I don't think of Cam as an older man, but
he's very a child at heart.
He's a child at heart.
Young at heart. Yeah.
He's young at heart. Tim is an old one. He's like my age. Well, I'm going to Hawaii.
Oh, that's
right. But for my 40th next year, we're going to Paris and you're coming to Paris. You're going to Paris. You're going to be the girl that went to Paris. Because I know that you're not going to have a wedding next year. So you're going to go to Paris for my 40th. You're not even going to have a bachelorette party. We'll just kind of do something for you on my 40th for your bachelorette party in Paris. I mean, that's what we're doing. It's not just you and I. Like, Lisa's coming. Okay, like, okay. I was also going to invite, like, Danielle and Katie and, like, their husbands. Oh, my gosh.
We'll be like Christian and Grant and Cody when they went on their Euro trip.
Except for bringing our spouses.
Yeah. But wait, are we just going to do Paris? Because people are mean there. I want to see all of France.
Lauren, you haven't even been to Europe.
I know, but I've heard from when I used to work in that fancy job, they were always like...
Well, those people are just like, they're Republicans. They don't like people.
No, but they said Paris... Everyone says Paris people are mean.
They're not mean. They'll probably be mean to you. I've been to Europe. I don't think that they're mean. I think that they don't like when people like... Don't even try to speak the language or something like that.
So we're going to try to learn French?
No one's trying to do anything.
I just think that like...
You won't speak. You just shut up. Je voudrais. That means like, I would like, and then you just say like, just bring you wines.
Wow. Familiarity with French. Another Michelle is secretly...
You see my
rich.
Dog? No, because my birthday's in December. I'm not talking about housewives. Okay, my birthday's in December, so it's so cheap to go to, like, this is, like, how you go to Paris. Like, this is how you go to Europe cheaply. You go in November, you go in December, because nobody's traveling to Europe during that time, because it is so fucking cold, so it is dirt cheap. Like, I'm talking about, like, you can stay in a nice hotel, you can fly direct for two people, like, two round-trip airfare, on American Airlines, because I priced it this year because we almost went to Paris, and stay like a nice hotel for four nights, and it was like $2,100 for Jason and I both to go.
Wow, that is
okay. That's what I'm saying. But I decided like I didn't want to be, it is like a 13-hour flight, and then I had a lot going on this year, so I was like, I don't really want to travel to Europe where it's like, I'm not going to really do anything relaxing. You're eating a lot, you're going to museums. So that's why we're going to Hawaii, because there's nothing interesting historically I want to see in Hawaii. Like, no disrespect to Pearl Harbor, but I won't be visiting you, sweetie.
What about volcanoes?
No. I'm not going to a museum about volcanoes. If I see one, I won't close my eyes.
Did you go to the set of The White Lotus, the Hawaii Four Seasons?
Yeah, I'm going to look for Sydney Sweeney.
Hell yeah. I have so much to say about this season still.
Okay.
So
I've moved on.
Okay. Well, I haven't.
Spiritually, emotionally, physically.
I recently was on Reddit talking about how great Lori Peterson is in the season, because he, who we have talked bad about a lot in this podcast, who is a writer about Housewives, said that she had one of the worst guest appearances of all time, when really, as you will find out as we cover this season, she orchestrated Vicky's demise from the show. This started Vicky's downfall. And I've got some behind the scenes tabloid details that you've never heard, Michelle, of just how petty Lori was.
Okay, can we just talk about that part? We already did like Vicky on the mountain. So what else do we got?
We've got so much. We've got, okay, let's get into
it. I didn't take Adderall today. Can you tell?
I can tell. Okay, so here's the character archetypes this season. We've got Tamra as the friend fatale. So she's like, you know, a Black Widow type seductress. She's making both Vicky and Gretchen fall in best friend love. She's a friend fatale, and ultimately, we'll find out by the end of the season, her prey is Gretchen. This whole time, she's been friends with Gretchen over the past few seasons. It wasn't because she genuinely liked her. She still hates her just as much. It was just to stir shit up on the show, and then when she drops her, it's curtains for Gretchen on the show, period.
Period.
Period. Done. Vicky, her archetype of season is she's like the long-lost true love of Tamra.
He is looking for love in all the wrong places. The one place she's not looking for love is in a bed with multiple partners, as we discussed the last time we talked about the season, which I think was 14 years ago.
Yes. So that is true. So we are rooting for Vicky and Tamara as the one true pair, the friends who are meant to be the soulmate sisters' friends. But Vicky is also the woman scorned.
Oh, God.
Where the scarlet letter of all of her crimes that Lori Peterson comes back to throw in her face on camera and comes back to the show just exclusively to do that.
Some torment. Right? Yeah, she comes in just to torment Vicky, and then she's like, gonna go back to my rich husband.
Yep, bye-bye. It's so, like Lori, her archetype is she's the Count of Monte Cristo. And she was like, you know, Vicky's servant, and then she got super rich, and then she, you know, went into exile, and then this whole comeback, like this whole revenge at Vicky, she plotted for 7 years. She's mad at Vicky for stuff that went on in the third season of the show. And she orchestrates it so brilliantly. We'll break it down piece by piece. The way she's a mastermind. We will. She doesn't get enough credit for how brilliantly she played this season. Gretchen and Slade in the second half of the season, they are the villains, which is really where they always should be on the show. It's the only way they make sense because it's who they truly are when they're not faking. They are scheming. They're evil, contrived. They are a lot like, you know, in the musical Annie, where it's like Rooster and Lily St. Regis, and they're like,
no,
charmed, I'm sure. And they're like,
yes.
They're pretending to be classy.
I'm sure. And that's exactly how Gretchen and Slade sound to me.
Yes. So they, at the expense of a child, they are grifting and scheming.
Stop talking about this kid.
I didn't get into details, but I'm saying that's the parallel with Annie. Like they stole an orphan girl for money, and then, you know, it's.
But I wanted that orphan to find a Daddy Warbucks.
Exactly. Like Slade could be a Daddy Warbucks, but instead he's a deadbeat.
He's Daddy No Bucks.
Exactly.
Daddy No Bucks.
Yeah, and deadbeat Daddy No Bucks. So then we have Lydia.
Ugh.
Who is, I will say, this season, she is the whistleblower. Mm. She finally, like, because everyone's become so numb to what a little piece of shit bitch Slade is, no one even calls him out for, like, all of his misogynist shit anymore. But
yeah, and just, like, talking about her weight, like, ew.
And she's new to that, so she's like, what the hell is going on? Like, yeah. They've all kind of given up on what a piece of shit he is, but she's like, this is, like, so
she never met this guy. Yeah, fuck him.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
So Heather in this back half, she is the grande dame, which is her usual role. She is
she's a rich bitch. She's rich staying bitch. Above it all, but also making so many moments. She always manages to keep her hands very clean using the best quality soap, probably imported from Europe. We'll never know.
Right. And
but she's this is I will say, like, these we're getting into, like, the best seasons for Heather.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
Yes, this back half specifically, she's finishing her serious actress arc. And she
Heather Kent.
Yes, she does a really good job still keeping her storyline stable about being an actress, but then now that her plot has resolved with Terry and they're not getting fake divorced.
And Malibu Country.
Yes, then Malibu Country comes in and she gets into the plot with Gretchen. So it gives this The plot thickens and it gives her a nice continuous storyline, and it amps up the drama by bringing in a real cast member instead of an unofficial one like
Terry. And because Heather Kent and Heather Dubrow, same person, are classically trained thespian, she knows how to tell a story.
Yes.
And she knows how to deliver it. Yes.
Yes.
She understands blocking.
Elocution, projection, a master at all.
Yes. And you can tell, like, you know, she doesn't wear movement clothes that we would typically think of in the theater.
But she does wear all black, so she can, you know, props around backstage without being seen.
I bet she's wonderful at pantomime.
Oh, for
she
sure.
She also does pantomime often.
Yes, with her hand. Yeah, that's her gesticulating is from her pantomime background.
Yes, her inconsistent consistency.
Yes. Alexis is the dead man walking.
He's still here.
Season. She is the walking dead. She's still here, but
she looks like a zombie. The false eyelashes aren't helping, baby.
Yeah, she's so checked out, and she's like, she kind of knows this is the end for her. So it's actually the most likable she's been, because she's like, she's not really trying to be.
I'm not getting invited to things, whatever.
Yeah, she's like, whatever, I'm gonna get fired. But she does have a nice last hurrah, fucking over Gretchen after Gretchen fucked over her, which is nice. And they both get fired at the end of the season.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Okay, so the chief beefs, the main conflicts for this season are gonna be, the big one is Lori versus Vicky, a story of revenge. This is the main story. Gretchen and Tamara are involved. Like, it's really just Lori versus Vicky, although it doesn't become clear because Lori really like amps up all of the shit she's got on Vicky and throwing it in her face slowly until we get to the top of the mountain, so to speak. So the other big conflict is Tamara versus Gretchen, which is the breakup. It's the end of Tamara's rebound. She's back to her one true love, Vicky. And much like with Simon, this back half of the season, Tamara is looking for an out. She's looking for ways to get out of this relationship with her hands clean and make Gretchen the bad guy. And it's Tamara in top form, so she finds it. Heather, as she so often does, which makes her such a great housewife, she hops onto this plot as well and also goes after Gretchen. Lydia versus Slade is our last story, our C story, which is a classic tale of Jesus versus the devil. And Jesus does win. And also, he arises in 3 days, 3 seasons, when Lydia comes back to the show.
Oh my God. Just as the Bible foretold.
Yes, she died for our sins because the show was too scary for her because of the strippers. And then she came back in 3 seasons for Easter.
For Easter. And she's in her Sunday best when she comes back.
Yes. And she banished the devil forever.
Banished the devil.
Okay, so the inciting incident is the girls are back from Tamara's bachelorette trip in Mexico. Mm. Heather and Tamara decide, let's do a detente with Alexa. Mm-hmm. Let's do a peace treaty. We'll just be cordial. But Gretchen, who was actually the meanest to Alexis and Alexis never did anything to, Gretchen does not want this like peace treaty. She is incapable of, because it would mean she would have to apologize because she heard Alexis the worst. They were best friends. She turned on her when the popular girls invited her. And Gretchen doesn't want to take any responsibility. And she doesn't want Alexis sneaking back and taking her spot in the group. So she's like, absolutely fucking not. She ends up threatening Tamara. And that's the end for her. Okay, so Lydia throws a salsa dance party to open the back half of the season. And that is a device.
That's so fun. I love when they have like a crazy activity to do.
And dance.
They all dress up like insane.
They've all got their Spanish roses and they're like off the shoulder, like dancing.
Yeah. And she's got chips and salsa.
Yes, because it's a salsa.
It's salsa. She's like, get it? It's salsa. I have salsa.
And I really think that this is such a brilliant device.
And her eyes, like, okay, like, this might be a controversial take, and I'm not putting her in the same category as this person, but I just will say, like, with the big eyes and, like, the... She kind of reminds me of Raquel.
She does give Raquel, yeah. Like, she is here, but making moves, like, yeah.
But she's not, you know, she has never done it, the things that Raquel has.
She's not a heathen, yeah.
And I think that she knows her multiplication tables.
Back to the dance party. The reason I really like this is because it's like mix and match. Like Lydia's whole thing is she's the peacemaker. She wants everyone to get along. So she makes people change partners and it does end up mixing up the group successfully. Yeah.
Very, I like it. Very smart. Like literally, like how did she come up with that?
Well, she didn't. I think her greatest move, or her and the producer's greatest move of all, is that Brooks even surprises Vicky and shows
with a roses in hand and a Slick Willy slide in. And a Slick Willy.
Who is Slick Willy? Is that
Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton. That's right. Yes. Yes. Brooks and Bill have some similarities.
Yes.
Charmer from Arkansas.
And we're not saying the former president ever faked cancer.
No. But
he just, you know,
he did.
He just charmed the pants off of lots of women. Just like Brooks.
He did not fake cancer
for that woman.
So, yeah, so he surprises Vicky, but she doesn't seem happy.
Also, like, he's dressed like a used car salesman. Like, the way that Brooks is dressed, like, he just sticks out so much because everyone has dressed up like.
Yeah.
Like truly, like.
Everyone has, like, open. Like,
I mean, the guys are wearing, like, tuxedos. And, like, Brooks is just, like, he has, like, an untucked button up shirt. Like, he looks like, you know, he bought his, like, the flowers from Kroger.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he looks like shit. He looks like dog shit. And Vicky's like, this is the nicest thing any man's ever done for me. And it's like, yowza.
But she also, like, it's like they're not, like, as affectionate. She seems so weirded out by the whole thing, which is, like, a red flag.
Yeah, and she's like, but then she's also just, like, happy that she's there, like, he's there, because she, like, one thing about Vicky, and it's true to this day, she cannot handle being alone, and she cannot handle a lonely home. She cannot handle going to events without a partner.
That's why she wants all the trips to be just girls, because if some people have partners, then she'll be so jealous not having her partner. So this was, like, meant to be a nice thing, so she would have someone, but we learned that it's because Brooks just wanted to be on camera. They actually broke up 3 months ago. He dumped her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, but everyone mixes it up. They're switching partners. Vicky and Heather dance with Eddie. Tamara dances with Brooks and Jimbalino. It's fun. It's fun to see all of the subside until
the salsa's eaten. Lydia eats the salsa.
Lydia eats the salsa, and beside her, Slade Snidely says, I'm going to call her Cheeseburger because she needs to eat a cheeseburger to Gretchen. And Lydia's like, excuse me?
You're standing right here.
Yeah, she's like, I can hear you. And he's like, what?
That's a compliment.
A compliment. You can't take a joke. That's how I joke. And she's like, well, no, a joke would be like if you said it to me. You said it behind my back to my face.
But right in front of me. And he's like, well, if I wanted to say it behind your face, then I wouldn't have said it when you're standing right there. But then she's like, but you just said that you were only saying that to Gretchen. Like, it makes no sense. And then Gretchen's like weirdly trying to defend the situation. It's like, that's a horrible thing to say. And Lydia's very right here. You don't talk about a woman's body fucking ever.
Ever. Especially, like, first of all, he's a guy doing it. And second of all, like, kind
he's
of.
He's never met her is the other thing. He's never had a conversation with her. Like, it's a weird thing.
It's weird. And it's very bad form for on a housewife's first season to call her out for having an eating disorder.
Yep.
Like, it's always ends up yucky. Like, you know, I think the only season that, like, they've really run with it was when Bethany and Carol did that to Jules. That season's almost unwatchable. Because of how cruel they are. Like, it's just not
so mean.
It's very
but cruel. We won't talk about that yet, but it's just like it's a weird thing to do, but like
and to continue
Slade, well and it's just this is like a pattern for Slade. Like, he talks about like the appearance of women on the show
constantly, and then like you know, even Lydia is like, you do this all the time, like Vicky full plastic surgery because she said she looked like Miss Piggy, which actually Vicky maintained. She was like, it wasn't about Slade,
but it was. Want
to deal with him, but it was.
It was about Slade.
So then Gretchen and Slade are really up in arms. So Slade, instead of letting it go or apologizes, he goes to her husband, Doug.
And Doug's never said a word on this show.
Yeah, this is like his first scene, and it has to be with Slade. Ugh. And he's trying to spin it. He's like, oh, your wife's all mad at me because of the
she's skinny. But it's like, he just sucks. And like, he just sucks on every... Like, what are you talking about? I've never had a conversation. I've never met you. We've never had a conversation. This is the first thing that you're talking about, that you commented on my wife's body
and Doug
as a joke? Why don't you go apologize to my wife?
Like, I wasn't there, and I don't know what you're talking about, and I've never had a conversation on camera before, but it might be because of her deep-seated issues around, like, breastfeeding, and it made her lose a lot of weight, and she feels very self-conscious to this day. And
my God.
Like, yeah, you know, a compliment. Like,
maybe.
Like, sorry she went that way. And Doug is
Are there cheeseburgers here at the salsa party?
Yeah, he's such a piece of shit.
I know.
Okay. So
I'm hungry. I'm ordering lunch right now.
Do it. Okay, so now we get to our big crisis. So Tamara is going wedding dress shopping with all the girls. She's
crisis.
It is a crisis. Even Alexis, which is at the crux of the crisis.
And that was the name of the episode. Even Alexis?
Yeah, kind of. And then even Lori Peterson, too, is our old friend.
God, this is such a good episode. Okay, you're right, Lauren. I'm excited.
Okay, I told you.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm what?
Okay, good. Me too. And so the only problem is when Gretchen hears that Alexis is coming, she says, I'm not going to go to Tamara. She's like, I'm not going to come if Alexis is there. And Tamara's like, excuse me, you think that you called the shots in this show? Absolutely not. She's like, how dare you say that? You're my friend. And then Gretchen's like, well, the thing is, I canceled on a job, like a serious acting job, to be here. So like the least you can do is not invite her. And Tamara's like, she's like, this is really manipulative. I don't like it. Finally, Gretchen changes her mind. So they come pick her up in the limo, pick up Alexis, pick up everyone but Heather, who says she'll meet them there. She's got a big surprise. And I do think this was the moment that Gretchen said, tried to call the shots with Tamara and tried to say no, Alexis. Gretchen, like, that's when Tamara was like, I'm fucking done. Like, either I operate you like a puppet. Like, if you ask for anything from me, this is fucking over. You don't serve me at all anymore. You know, like, I'm in charge.
Speaking of this episode, really quick sidebar, are you getting married soon?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Just, like, politically?
Like, yeah, the election.
The crisis in the Middle East.
Yeah. Yeah, we will not marry until there is a two-state solution. Okay, so Tamara's trying on all of these, you know, like
gowns. Drinking champagne. It's what girls do. We should at least go look at wedding dresses.
I already have one. I bought it for
myself. I never did that for myself. We should just go try them on.
Okay.
Although I would just be like, I'm fat, and then, you know.
And I'd be like, I'm fat, and we'd be fat, but, you know.
I mean, you know, but you get free champagne.
Yeah, it's worth it for that. Okay, so Lori asks, how was hanging out with Brooks after the
Brooks party? How's Brooksy boy?
And Vicky explains, Brooks and I actually decided we were done.
He's single. I'm single.
His love language is quality time, which I'm pretty sure it's gifts and money is his love language.
And by that, Lauren means he likes you giving him gifts and he likes you giving him money.
Yes, that's how he likes to receive love. And he likes to give love in the form of riddles. That's his.
Riddles and fake documents, as we will find out in future seasons.
He loves to give CT scans that are faked, etc. But Vicky's like, Brianna and Ryan won't allow him into my home that we all share. So there's, you know, there's not much I can do.
And then Lori drops a very interesting piece of tea.
It's very slow. I really want to focus on the way that Lori does all this because I think it's so masterful. She says, well, she repeats herself over and over again this whole scene. She goes, well, maybe there's an intuition kicking in. Maybe there's an intuition kicking in. She's written this script. She spent years on this script. This is like friggin' her version of Shawshank.
No, this is what Brooks wish he could do with his riddles.
Yes.
But Lori's actually good at it.
She's so good at it. This is like so top tier manipulation. I wish we got it from her on the show and she wasn't always in crisis because, man, this is amazing. So Lori proceeds to force Vicky to pry out every detail about what she knows about Brooks. She's like, maybe that's intuition because I've heard some things. So Vicky has to ask her, well, what kind of things? And Lori's like, well, I don't want to get into it. I'm just saying maybe there's an intuition. So she's making Vicky beg her to tell her on camera.
No, at this point, Vicky's like a dog begging for a treat. Like,
while everyone just looks on in horror. Like, Lydia's eyes have, like, you know, they're taking up half her face like a Auga cartoon. Like Roger Rabbit, her tongue's unfurling. And she's like very vague. She's talking in circles.
She's with one of our daughter's friends, mutual friends.
And Vicky's like, wait, one of her friends? And she's like, yeah, she's very young, very young. Vicky's like, how old? She's like, very young, under 21.
Like our daughter's age.
Like our daughter's age. Let's not do this on camera, but, you know, under 21 probably. And Vicky's like, under 21? His kids are 23. He would never date a son. This is bullshit. He wouldn't do the under 21. Yeah, he's 45. Call liar, bullshit. And then Lori's like, well, maybe they're not dating. I just know they've been together. And like Vicky's like they had sex. She's like, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You know, she's a kind of a friend of our daughter's, but she, you know, like her line of work.
I, you know, there was a video. Vicky's like, what video? They did. She's a porn. It's like, well, I don't know if they had sex. It was breakfast and dinners and so forth. It might be a sugar daddy thing. Vicky's mind is exploding.
He's exploding.
So he was throwing 100s to all these girls. And she was like, well, that does sound like him. He'd throw 100s.
He likes to tip girls.
He wouldn't do the pornographic star thing. And then finally, like, it reaches, like, a fever pitch.
Boiling point. Like, yeah.
I'll send you a video. I don't have it now. It's just what she does for a living. They did a porn video. Do you know his house in San Bernardino? Well, they did a porn video. Mm-hmm. And then Tamara comes in and she's like, this is the dress.
This is the dress.
And everyone's crying. Vicky's
we
crying.
Love it.
By the way,
and not Lori's just like,
for her real wedding.
I know, which is fine.
Yeah. She just has great timing. So Gretchen has to go as they're all taking a picture with Tamara in the dress because she has a speaking engagement, but it's time for a picture and he just like hides and cries and Lori comes to comfort her and she's like, please don't be mad at me. The messenger always gets killed. But you know his house in Rancho San Margarita? Well, that's where it happened. And I'll show you the video and it's in the basement and you'll see in the video. I don't have it right now. We'll do it off camera. But please don't be mad at me. And it's like, it worked. Vicky's so like out. She doesn't even realize how shitty this was because she's like.
She's so incensed that this is on camera and the way that Lori did it.
She pulled such a fast one. All the girls realize it. When they go to dinner after shopping, Lori doesn't come. And they're like, dude, she got you good, fucker. Like, but Vicky still isn't quite getting it. She's more just like, whatever, I just want to drink. I want to forget about this. Let's have fun. And Heather has big news. The reason she was late is because she is a supporting recurring role on Malibu Country.
And it was written just for her.
Just for her. Tamara explains that Gretchen said if Alexis was coming shopping, she wasn't going, like Gretchen wasn't going to go. And then when Tamara got mad, Gretchen said she's got to uninvite Alexis because Gretchen was going to have the part in Malibu Country. And Heather says, interesting. Yeah. So Heather says she told me as well that she was offered my role first. And Heather says, I asked the producer about it. I said, was Gretchen offered this first and she turned it down? She said, the producer said, that's not true. And I have no idea what she's talking about.
Whoa.
So now, not looking good for Gretchen. She's got Heather coming after her. She's got Tamara coming after her. She's been caught in like one of her many lies and exaggerations on camera. And she's got Alexis coming after her because she did the same thing to Alexis. She said that Alexis's anchor spot that she was so proud of, like hosting, that she was second choice after Gretchen. So she's got everyone pissed. And even Vicky, who's like blackout drunk, because she's so upset, is like, she's a liar face. So everyone's coming for Greg.
It's on fire.
So we come to the next crisis. And this is, we're gearing up towards the climax of the season, people. It happens early. So Lydia organizes a trip to Whistler, Canada, which ordinarily I would be like, what the fuck?
Yawn, but these girls make it hot, hot, hot.
It is the best, like, winter
trip. I want to go.
History. Yeah, I want to go to the Whistler Canada Four Seasons. Look at all the amenities. It was like so clearly sponsored.
I know, but it looked lovely. It looked like Christmas.
And it was perfect setting because revenge is a dish best served cold. So
like a gazpacho.
So in the Canada bus, we drive north up the mountain of Rising.
They drive on the other side of the road there.
Do they in Canada?
No.
We drive to the climax of the season. Heather announces she's got to leave the trip early to do Malibu Country.
Which is insane. This is so crazy to me that she even showed. She was in Whistler for 2 hours.
I mean, she did.
She flew all the way there to get on the bus to be like, I got to go. Doesn't even have. It's so insane that she even did that. It's so funny.
But it's just for this scene. She wanted to be there to call out Gretchen. Which, like, that's professionalism. She's a pro. So Tamara says, oh, Gretchen got a call too. And Heather said, oh, yeah, Gretchen, you mentioned that, but they said you didn't get a call.
And then what does Alexis say?
Alexis says, oh, so,
Malibu Country? Oh, they call my policies too.
So Gretchen tries to explain. So it was filming Friday, but actually, like, Heather's like, it wasn't filming Friday. That was the table read. They don't shoot Fridays. So they would have, like basically, Gretchen got an availability call, like just like, would she be available if she did this? And then like didn't get back to them and the role went away. Like,
and it was a very different role. Not what Heather has.
Heather had. It was a walk on, but it wouldn't make sense with Heather on it. So Gretchen pretend like is acting like, what? Alexis got a call too. Why is she not a liar? She's playing dumb. But really it's like, you know, it's Gretchen fibs a lot. She fudges the truth and Tamara is busting her ass.
Right.
So, Alexis was so desperate that when her publicist asked if she was available, she told them no just in case, like, Tamara might invite her shopping.
Dead Man Walking.
Okay, so it's time for a ski lesson. So Tamara pulls over Vicky at the ski lesson, and she's like, hey, you need to look out for Lori. Like, Gretchen told me in Mexico that Lori was saying all this shit about you. Like, she's coming for you on this mountain. And Vicky's like, okay, like, fuck it. I'm going to call her out. Like, it was fucked up what she did. Lori, she has such balls to even went on this trip with them after what she did dress shopping. Like, she had to know what was coming.
What she does on this mountain actually is so good, but also very dangerous.
Yeah.
They're skating. Like, it's scary.
And also at this altitude, like, I'm shocked no one had a brain aneurysm. Like,
I'm scared to ski. I don't ever want to.
I hate skiing. Yeah, I agree with Tamara that it's hard and it's fucking freezing. I'm not into it.
It's fucking freezing. Why am I spending all of this money to go work out?
No, what a nightmare. Yeah, not for me. And it's just too cold. Too cold for work. Okay, so Gretchen skis up and says, Lori did say that, like, what Tamara is telling you. And she said,
oh, yeah, they all just sort of like ski, and they're like, oh, yeah, we've heard about this.
Just slide into the conversation.
Lydia's like, hi, what's going on? I know what happened. Yeah, I heard about this.
So, Gretchen is, she just can't even take it anymore. She's so excited to bust Vicky. Be like, you are a hypocrite for saying that I cheated on Jeff because you cheated your whole fucking marriage.
Jeff is dying with cancer.
It's like, honey, let it go. And so Vicky admits, yeah, I was unfaithful. Don was unfaithful. We both admitted it later. And actually good work that she gave that up on camera. But also, right. I fucking hate Gretchen, dude. Gretchen is so delighted. She is like pink with like cold and glee. She's like, oh, you didn't own it. Or you did this. And then Vicky's like, well, at least I'm owning it. I'm saying it right now. You are still not admitting when we caught you hooking up with someone else. And so then Tamara, her like wheels are turning during this. Like, Vicky's like, why aren't you mad at Tamara? Like, she's the one who did it most of all. I was just like, why are you guys best friends now? And Gretchen's just like, it's fine, me and Tamara are fine. And it's like, Tamara, it's clicking that Gretchen is using her as much as she's using Gretchen. Like, Gretchen still fucking pissed at her, and Tamara's like, this is fucking done. Like, I'm 100% out. It's like the same as the Simon in the back of the limo scene. This is like, she has to like play nice for a little while longer, but she's like, it's over. This, it's done with this girl. Like, I use her. She doesn't use me.
Right.
And we ski all the way up to the climax, mountain of tension, stakes, and volume. So now Lori skis up. Just swoop, skis on up. And Vicky goes, not cool, Lori. Not cool. Not cool.
And Lori's like, I'm not your secretary anymore. She doesn't say that, but
that's her tone. Yeah, she's
that's
like,
that's her tone.
Richer than all of you. I'm a princess now.
I'm rich, bitch.
And you had sex with multiple partners. Vicky says,
I saw it. Yeah, and I never said that you did. I just said that you were in bed with more than one person
in New Orleans.
She's very clear with her language about what she said
and didn't say. And she chose to bring up this scenario because it was, we later learned, it was sister that Vicky was in bed with another woman. So obviously they were not having sex.
Yeah, they were watching a movie.
Vicky can't defend herself because then it seems like she's saying on camera she fucked her sister.
Right.
So that's where we get a later great line from Jill Zarin in Ultimate Girls Trip when Vicky's explaining this. Oh, that's tough with a sister. Oof. So it's just, Gloria's mapped this all out to a T. Like, it's so brilliant. And so,
and she looks so good in her little ski bunny outfit.
Yes. And she's like, this is a game of telephone. I feel betrayed. Like, what about the grief?
This is all I ever said, Vicky.
All I ever said is also, you know, this guy you fucked and this guy you fucked. And Vicky's like, so skiing by yourself. You don't have a friend here. I've never met with multiple partners.
The editing of this is just, I'm sorry. Francis Ford Coppola could never touch this.
He wishes. Like, the edit, the Bravo editors.
The avalanche, the echoing of Vicky screaming off the mountaintop, like birds flying away. It's all perfection. Yeah. To me, that's cinema.
To me, that's cinema. Agree. We come to this place for magic. Mm. So this is like really where it peaks, the scream. And so everything else is kind of falling action.
I can see it in my head. Like, I know what Vicky's wearing. I know, like, she's shaking her like ski poles in her hand. She's so bad.
It's so good. So then they separate the girls in their little gondoliers. Gretchen is being like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Vicky fucked up. And Lydia is actually, again, the voice of reason, being like, yes, it is. She's like, well, who's the one who said it on camera? And Lydia's like, you just said it on camera. Like, so then Gretchen and Tamara talked. And Gretchen is like, they're relitigating the fight about shopping. And mm-hmm. Tamara's like, so why did you lie to me on that fight?
Yeah.
And like, it seemed like you were just like, really, the truth was you didn't want to go if Alexis was going. So you were just trying to force me to uninvite her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I only lied because like, I'm such a good friend that like, mm-hmm. I was worried I'd get mad at her. Like, and because I want to protect you. And then like, she's like, but you changed it. You, like, you mm-hmm. did that at first, and then you changed it to also, I have this part, I can't come. And Gretchen says to the, or Tamara says to the camera, this is my issue with her. So many lies. And this is the end for Gretchen. This is her downfall from up high on the mountain. Mm-hmm. We fall even lower. Gretchen and Slade do a fake helicopter proposal. They were heard.
Oh my God, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so fake. It's so bad. This is not cinema. This is like a not. This is like the knockoff James Bond movies, but not funny, with Leslie Nielsen.
Yes, it's like an unfunny version of Naked Gun.
Naked Gun.
They're doing a remake with Liam Neeson, by the way. But the reason I did bring it up, even though it's so cringe,
this is what got her fired.
And it's, yeah, Slade, like, is on his radio show with his poor, long-suffering female co-host, where he just talks shit about women, and the co-host goes, oh, yeah.
Okay. Funny. Oh my God, it's so funny to talk about women this way.
I love this. So she plays the Gretchen song for him so they can promote Gretchen's music career. The whole thing is planned.
Like,
they
she didn't, like, her. As if we weren't, like, tortured enough with Gretchen singing in Pussycat Dolls.
Yes, it's like they just can't stop pushing their own agenda. They're so fake. Also, we didn't mention Gretchen has been wearing bright blue color contacts with no pupil in them this whole season and looks like a doll. Like, it's terrifying.
But this is what got her fired. Like, I saw a thing with the producer. Yeah.
Andy, like, always watches, like, mm-hmm. clips and, like, the season, and he takes notes. His note after this scene was, nice send-off for her. It was just the end.
So fake.
And even if it hadn't happened, it was still the end, because then she has her engagement party. She doesn't even invite Tamara. She doesn't invite any of the women.
Anybody. No one's
engagement.
No
party.
One's there.
They're not even getting married. Like, they still are not married. It's so, like, oh, I just wanted
to. They're still not married. She does have in her bio, though, I looked the other day on Instagram, and she does have Slade's wife, and he has, like, Gretchen's husband, but they never got legally married.
I thought they did last year. We'll have to look into it.
They're not. No, I did look into it. They're not legally married. Yeah, they're not legally married.
People won't ask, because they probably still have to pay that back child support. Like, anyway, the helicopter is the Deus Ex Machina that saved us.
And as far as I pronounce it, the Deus Ex Machina.
The Deus Ex Machina, yeah, because they took a big deuce all over this season, and the Bravo machine said, get the fuck out. You guys are exes. Fuck out. So the Dubrows sell their house, setting up a new season story as they build another house. Such
Chateau Dubrow, yes.
Chateau Dubrow. And then finally, we get the thrilling resolution of the season at Vicky's Winter Jubilee Winter Formal Snowball.
Okay, I loved this party.
It's so good. It's jam-packed.
I love the decor. She's like, I was inspired by Whistler. And it's like, no, you weren't. But somebody was, because it's actually, like, insane. I have to say this about Vicky's backyard. It is my favorite backyard of all the housewives ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just I love that backyard. I love the pool. I love it.
It's like lagoon-like. It's so gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. The palm trees. Like, she has a grotto. I love it.
Yeah.
Especially when she's alone and single and she's walking around the grotto and it's like the Playboy Mansion, like, pool, but she's alone. She's like, I have nobody in this life to share this grotto with. Based off of the Playboy Mansion pool. She will always be famous.
She will always be famous. So what a better denouement to Slade's time on the show and the season than all of the women really explaining why Slade has no business on the show once and for all. Lydia mm-hmm. leaves in charge when she sees him again, calling him a douche lord. Tamara and Vicky stand up for themselves. They say you should not treat women that way.
Mm-hmm.
So song feels so good. And then we learn at his end blurb that his horrible radio show is no longer around because the station was bought out by Christian radio and he's a very un-Christian person. Jesus triumphs once again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very
Christian. But what else happens at the party?
So Tara and Vicky exchange friendship bracelets bigger than Gretchen and Tamara's as a token of their reunion and that Gretchen is dead to them. Heather finally have it out about Malibu country. Heather is mad that Gretchen tried to pull the same shit on Alexis. And she's like, you don't pull the same shit on Alexis. That you don't do that on me when this is like acting. And then Gretchen just keeps doubling down and saying, well, I was offered that part first. So this is like Gretchen's final bridge. She could have rebuilt, but instead.
A bridge too far.
A bridge too far, indeed. Lydia also brings her mom, her hippie stoner mom.
She loves weed. And she likes throwing glitter on everyone.
Yes, and this was back before we knew that glitter is essentially like a plague or herpes and actually something very bad to throw on people because you can never get rid of it and it clogs toilets. She's a sweet lady.
She's very high. She's very high and she's in her 60s and wearing high heels.
Yes, so we hear audio from inside Vicky's house.
The call is from inside the house. The
call is coming from inside the house and it is scary. Brianna is suddenly screaming at Lydia's senior fairy mom for putting her feet on the furniture. And she's like thinking he's kidding at first. She's like, this isn't your house or anything. And it is my fucking house. Like, get your feet off the fucking furniture, bitch. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's like crazy. Like, he's gone insane. He's screaming at her, like, you don't respect the house. Like, you need to respect my rules. And like, real Southern with it, real shitty, very scary. I hate this, and it's insane. And then Lydia's mom comes out to tell Vicky and to tell Lydia that she's been harassed by this person. She doesn't even realize who this person who has been yelling at her is, and he doesn't realize who she is.
Yeah.
And Brianna's horrified.
No, Brianna's not.
She's trying to defuse. Like, she's
explaining. She's like,
she's trying to explain. Nobody knows how my mom really is about her furniture, and she would yell at us the same way. And it's like, no, she's
blaming Vicky.
Vicky would not do this at a party that she is throwing this way.
Yeah, with like a basically like a mom of a cat.
She's not even a cat. Like, she's like the mom. She's like the 65-year-old mom of a cast member. Like, this is insane. Vicky is horrified.
Vicky handles it well.
Also Vicky's brother gets involved.
This is Billy's finest moment. Like,
not when he's tumbling down the stairs when he finds out Brianna's gotten married.
Yeah. Vicky's still scared of. We see how scared.
Ryan doesn't apologize. Like, he's still yelling at Vicky, or he's still yelling at Lydia's mom. Like,
and Vicky won't fight back at him because
because the other thing Vicky talked about earlier in the episode is she is talking to Billy about, like, you know, that Brianna and Ryan are living there. You know, Billy's like, I don't like that he thinks that, like, this is his home. And because Vicky's explaining to him that he got, like, security cameras for the whole house. And she's scared. Like, she's been on the camera. Like, it's really weird. Like, he has completely taken over the home and treating it as, like, it is his home. And I'm sorry, paying $1,000 a month is not enough. Like,
that's not going to give you
access. It's still not his home, and she is right. Like, it is not his home, but, like, she's lost control here.
Yeah.
And, like, what he's doing and the rules that he's been putting in place, like, she's lost control.
And this is what she always does when she has something she needs pushed on camera but is too scared to do it.
Right.
She flies Billy in. She's really scared of Ryan. She's scared of Ryan and Brianna leaving, so she's not going to stand up for them. She just tries to convince Lydia's mom to stay, and Billy is like, dude, this is not your house. You have
This is not your home. Well, as much as we don't like Brooks, and we find out especially why later, like, it isn't up to Brianna and Ryan if Vicky can have her boyfriend at their house. Like, it's not their decision.
Yeah, I really felt for, like, Vicky this like second half of the season, because, like, we realize, like, she's in between two really controlling, like, alpha men, one of who's better than
other men. Yes.
They're like in a kind of like ego dick war against like who can control her more.
And yeah. And Ryan's really drunk. And he's just the fact that he, like, even after he realizes and everyone's talking to him, like, you need to not speak to her that way. And then, well, and Vicky even says, like, she's an elderly woman. He's like, she's not elderly. But don't fucking call her that. She's a piece of shit. She's a bitch. She's a disrespectful bitch. Like, his obsession, like, about like all he's just seeing red, like just that she's disrespecting the home is crazy to me, because actually Ryan is the one disrespecting Vicky's home the most by not letting her who have the person she wants to have over at her house and just taking it over and putting up security cameras, like doing all this stuff without even checking with Vicky is bizarre and scary.
And like, I think that the reason he flipped out and got so mad is all of his resentment is actually towards Vicky. He projected it all on this different like 65-year-old woman.
Right.
He feels he's so about alpha and manhood, and he hates that he's having
mother-in-law. I'm like, okay, here's the thing. Ryan didn't realize like he was still mic'd, and like, you know, it's one of those that Bravo's good at is like people not realizing that even if you're not on camera, a hot mic, they're gonna still pick that up. Because it made me, and I'm not saying that he has, but I'm just saying like, if this is how he speaks to somebody he does not know,
yeah,
like I can't imagine the things that he had said to Vicky, like the things that maybe he said to Brianna.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. And he wasn't backing down. That's even crazier to me. Like,
yes, serious,
he scares me. He's scary.
Serious issues with toxic masculinity and rage. And what's more,
although I do think that he's sober now, I don't think that either of them drinks anymore, which is good.
That makes me optimistic. But we do end on a slightly peaceful note. Like, Alexis, Jim, Heather, Tamara, and Vicky are all just like joking. Like, first, like, Vicky is like still dealing with the situation, and they're just joking like goodheartedly about Vicky. Jim is like, look, I know she loves Brooks, but you just gotta let her, you know, even though he sucks, you just gotta let her do her thing. And Alexis is like, yeah, I mean, if you tell her not to do, then like she's just gonna do it more. And Tamara's
she's
like,
just gonna do it.
Totally, I know. And Jim is like, I mean, you know, like I'm older than Alexis. I try to teach her things all the time. And then like Alexis is interrupting him. And it's like, we see that finally there's kind of some, she's got the upper hand in their dynamic, which is what we always wanted. And for him not to, for now it's according to Alexis, not according to him. And we can send her on her way.
You send her on her way and she doesn't get a spinoff.
Nope. But she does, like Jesus. And like Lydia, she does come back.
She returns, but she doesn't return as a Christ-like figure.
No, opposite. Yeah. I would say the theme of this season, this back half, is the past will always catch up to you. Like, whether it's a Count of Monte Cristo type vengeance from your former secretary, or like...
Or like family can destroy your reputation.
Yeah.
Like Vicky's sister being in bed with her and her son-in-law.
Yes, family ties. And then also, I think another concept we see a lot in this season is the shadow self. Like, Gretchen keeps calling it hypocrisy. Vicky's such a hypocrite. Why can't she see that she did the same things I'm guilty of? But as Gretchen is saying this, she's digging her own grave because she's the one being a hypocrite, not being secretly hating all of her cast members and not being willing to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of hypocrisy, which is great TV, baby. Okay, so the epilogue to our tale, the reunion, it's our first three-parter. Alexis, Tamara, and Vicky are now the I Hate Gretchen Club. So Gretchen brings up Basilake again, and then the smoking gun we finally get. We wouldn't have even gotten into it if Gretchen didn't keep bringing it up on the season and the reunion. And Alexis says, she's like, well, you never saw anything, right, Alexis? And Alexis says, well, I did see her sitting on her boyfriend's lap and kissing him on the lips all the time. And so I just love that Alexis finally gets her revenge on Gretchen being such a piece of shit to her. And Gretchen's like, well, we all do that, right, guys? And they're like, I mean, with our gay friends, with our husbands.
But is this what the big revelation during the reunion is? No.
No. Okay, well, I've got a little more tea on Lori. So we bring Lori back too. So she's told a lot of versions of the reason that she wants revenge on this show. She's like, oh, you know, it's like that Vicky released an email from George's ex-wife recently to the press and it went viral.
Yeah.
Then she told another story where it was like, actually, it was years ago. And actually, she just sent it to Gina. She's told so many versions. Went to the OC Register, got us a subscription, and found
it. I know. I saw it.
7 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Season 3. Vicky got a call while Lori was still her executive assistant, and she didn't recognize the voice. It was the mother-in-law, George's ex-mother-in-law. That night, she received an email that said a lot of bad stuff about George and just showed it to Gina. It was not released to the press. She just showed Gina, and Gina told Lori. This was when Lori was still on the show. And what's so crazy is not only has it been 5 years, but Lori, like George's ex-wife, had a YouTube channel where she was talking about George all the time.
Her son, Lori's son, lived with her.
Yeah. Like,
Josh, son lived with so her. So crazy.
She was best friends with a tabloid reporter and would give them all this gossip on Lori and George. Like, Vicky really didn't do shit other than, like, she got an email from this lady that was trying to, like, protect Lori, and she showed it to Gina before she sent it to Lori. Mm-hmm. Lori can't even get her story straight.
Which is a good thing for us.
It is, because now we know the truth. And I just love that, like, over something this small that, like, didn't really have any impact in Lori's life, Lori was this determined to the second that her son was okay, she came back on camera to fucking fuck up Vicky's life, her business, her show, everything. And that level of petty is why this is the greatest comeback of all time, in my opinion.
And now we said it. We don't even have to talk about the other thing in the reunion, but we should because it is very famous.
Oh, wait, I just want to say one last thing. Lori Peterson, she is the original John Jansen. She paved the way. She paved the way for...
Don't ever compare her to John Jansen.
So true. Look at the season.
John, but we like Lori.
We like Lori, but he's copying her is what I'm saying.
But he's awful. He's an awful replica.
Yes. He's, yeah, boy version. He's like slave version of Lori.
I hate that man.
But he's taking the cue from her playbook where it's like, no one was thinking about you. No one was talking to you. Shannon didn't do anything to you. And now you have made it your whole life's mission to try to...
whole life's mission. Life. Look at that dog.
Oh,
she's got a bow tie on. She went to the groomer.
Oh, hi.
She got a skeleton bow tie. Okay, you gotta wait. We gotta talk about... we gotta wrap up the worst part of the reunion.
Okay, yes.
The revelation.
We find out about Brooks. Find out something that Brooks, we cannot...
We find out her. We find out Brooks is on the, he's at the reunion telling everyone, Brianna's also there, and they're telling everyone, Brooks and Vicky, that they are not together. And Brianna confronts him. And she, okay, so this all starts, Brianna's watching a playback of him being in scenes, and she's screaming the whole time at Brooks about what a piece of shit liar he is. Now your turn, Lauren.
Okay. So then Brianna reveals that Brooks called himself... He hit
her. She's like, what did you tell my husband? Because she's like, you're paying me to be a liar at Brooks? What did you tell my husband to do to me? And he goes, I didn't say anything to your husband that I don't regret or whatever. And she goes, what did you say to him to do to me? Because I have a recording. And then she goes, you told my husband to hit me to get me in line and you don't regret that? And Vicky's just like, Lydia leaves the stage because she's like horrified. And then everyone's looking very shocked. And then Vicky, and she's done this more than once at this point, had to say that Brooks has not ever been physically abusive to her. She's trying to clarify that. She also says, this is like a horrible revelation. It turns out to be true. Brooks says that he does regret it, that him and Ryan, Brianna's husband, were drinking heavily one night. And Ryan recorded it. This conversation with Brooks, like an hour-long conversation, and it's on a recording. Brianna has it. Brooks knows it exists, and Vicky at that point had refused to listen to it. She didn't want to know. And this is foreshadowing for Vicky when it comes to Brooks, because even if the evidence has been provided to her, she will refuse it because she wants to stay in her little bubble of what she thinks about this person. And nobody, not even her daughter, not even the person she's with, telling the person, like her daughter's husband, to hit her is going to dissuade her from being with Brooks.
Yeah, but I think in Vicky's defense, she also has Brooks in her ear telling her the stuff that she tells Brianna, which is she's just jealous of our love. She wishes she's
her, made that her up. Ryan wished that they had what we had. But I'm sorry. Like, there's not a world where if I ever, like, to hit my daughter, like, there's not a world where I wouldn't fucking destroy that person. Oh, how dare you? I would fucking destroy that person.
This is the beginning of the end for Vicky in terms of, yeah, like likability. Like, the viewers, when we see her.
And Tamara is horrified. At this point, like, Tamara and Vicky are real friends, okay? Like, they are real friends. They are really close. And Tamara's, like, on the brink of tears because she's, like, so scared that Brooks has hurt Vicky, and she feels like that he has, and that Vicky's not going to say. Vicky is very quiet this whole time.
Yes. Then we learn that he also hit on Brianna. He called himself Girth Brooks, to brag about his
the size of his dick,
and asked.
And she was hit on by Brooks when she was like 7 months pregnant.
Yeah,
which is disgusting. Brianna also does say that, you know, she's like, this reunion, cut it if it wasn't this reunion, but oh yeah, it was this reunion because he didn't show up to the next one, about how, you know, Vicky's like, he's never been physical with me, but Brianna's like, I've seen the stuff that he's done to you, and he's, you know, like,
yeah.
She's like, what are you talking about when he was like shaking me, like that he wasn't hitting me? And she's like, if he does that in front of people, what is he doing behind closed doors?
Yeah. And one would think, like, if we're putting the timeline together, like, you know, Brianna and Ryan, they didn't see him for 2 years. They refused to be around him. So presumably this did happen, like, around this time.
I mean, it does make sense why they wouldn't want to be around this person. Actually, I take that back.
The cameras, all of it.
Yeah, they were right to not want Brooks around their children. I mean, if he's hitting on your pregnant wife and then separately is telling you to hit your wife, you don't want to be around that person. No. Okay, they were right about that. And he is a piece of shit. Brooks is a disgusting person. But Ryan was wrong the way that he yelled at Lydia's mom, too.
Agreed. So that's the end of the season.
Happy times. Let the good times roll.
I would say the required viewing, like the top episode of the season, if you watch one episode, it's got to be the Cold War. Yeah, on top of the mountain, season 8, episode 15. It's, you know, you've definitely seen the clip.
It's such a classic. It's just such a classic. It's like, it's canon.
It's canon. It's camp. It's great.
It's very
climactic. What grade would you give this season, Michelle?
Okay, I know I didn't want to talk about it right now, but then I feel good that we talked about it because it's such an important season in the history of, like, the entire Housewives franchise. I would say, God, I'm going to give it an A. Like, it's really important. There's some of the most classic episodes are in this season, moments, and this reunion was...
First three-parter.
It was a first three-parter. It was shocking, and it is the beginning of the end for Vicky.
Yeah, it's just like also like it's special to my heart because we finally get rid of Gretchen and Slade. Like, I love that.
I mean, like, the worst part is they're still on this season and the fake engagement and all of that bullshit. But it's crazy, the Brooks stuff. Like, we're just really getting started with Brooks at this point.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a wild turn.
It's wild. Another thing that's special about the season is this was the 100th episode of OC.
Oh, my God.
During this season. So we are kind of slowing down in our OC coverage, if you've noticed. We're also doing some recappage. We're doing some guesting.
Yeah, really exciting guests. Like, recapping, like, this season, I think we're going to take a little... Well, we're still going to be recapping the episodes of, like, the new season because this... like this current season, because it's so insane what's happening on and off camera with these girls. But we have a really exciting guest coming. Yes.
And if you are missing our big long lessons like this so much, please reach out. We will get back.
Tell Lauren directly, because I was like, I don't want to do this. I did this kicking and screaming, but I'm glad I did it. And honestly, like, seasons 9 and 10, when we recap those, like, those are the most epic seasons of any television show there ever was. Sorry, MASH.
Yeah, no, MASH's finale can suck my dick.
I know, I don't really care about the ending of Cheers. I really did like that show a lot, though.
It's good. The pilot is the gold standard.
Of Cheers? Right.
The pilot of Cheers, yeah. It's the gold standard of three-camera sitcoms. For writing. Mm. I also give this season an A. I'm excited to get into 9 and 10. I'm excited to have our guests episode.
Do you think your ex-boyfriend would do our show? Because he's
He might. I mean,
see if he can get him on here. Don't tell Kate. Don't call here.
Yeah. Shh, guys, listeners,
don't tell Cam.
It's not like my ex boy. Like, we, you know, used to hang out. And then
we did the deed with him.
We did a few deeds, dirty deeds. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, another exciting thing about when we get to season 9, we'll get the one and only Shannon Bedore. Okay.
So, oh, I was like, oh my gosh, she's gonna be on the show, but she's not gonna be on. And I was like, she's coming.
No, I would.
She needs to start being on the show.
All right. So, are you ready for oral exam?
Oh my god, we're doing another. We did one yesterday.
You don't have to.
No.
But if you,
I'm not doing it. Yeah. No. I my food just literally just got here. I got some. So.
Okay. Let me just do one really quickly.
Okay. Do it.
Okay.
And your time starts now.
Okay. In this essay, I will prove, you know, you're in a bad space mentally when not only are you just watching, like binge watching episodes of reality TV over and over again, taking down whole seasons, like the way that, like we do every fucking week, because our podcast is basically like psychosis recorded, you know, like it's depression, you know, as an art. But this is how bad my mental space is right now. I have started reading the feed from Big Brother, like the recaps of like they have the feeds going in the like TV. It's a house filled with cameras.
Stop reading.
I have read all of the 2007 seventh season of Big Brother feeds. Every conversation, every time someone farts, every time how late they sleep, when someone poops, what they ate, who was on.
What? That's insane. Why?
Please, readers, listeners, students, message me, help me, tell us what to do next on the podcast.
Why you could do something like this?
It's dark. But
where are you finding this stuff? Is it on the CBS website?
No, it's like a fan website.
Is it? Oh my god, you're getting it off the dark web?
Yeah, I'm in. Sorry, that was my dog. In the dark web. Getting some. And it's really dark in
it's
there.
So nasty. So nasty. Oh my god, that's
a
fucked
minute,
up.
A minute description.
See, now my dog's barking.
I know, our dogs are barking. Right.
We gotta go. My dogs are barking.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo.